Beijing has recently established its first internet court that runs 24/7, where internet-related cases in the city will be tried online in the future. It makes the second court of this sort in China. First of all, I'll need to ask Huang Shan this. Yeah. Explain to us what's going on here and the concept of internet court. Does it even exist in a brick and mortar place?
Okay. Actually, it's also to my surprise because this is already the second internet court in China. But earlier, we didn't hear that much from the first one. So today we can take a look at of what is actually an internet court. So this is the second internet court opened in Beijing. And as authorities set up measures to protect business transactions, personal information, and intellectual property online. So the court is located in a Fengtai District Technology Zone in the southwest of the capital city. And is staffed with 38 judges with an average of 10 years trial experience and will be open 24 hours a day through its digital litigation platform. And the officials in this platform said they strive to make it easier for people to file a suit and also boost trial efficiency while maintaining impartiality and system safety. Also, as I mentioned before, this is the second internet court in China. Where is the first one? Mm-hmm. Actually, it was in Hangzhou, which was launched on August 18th last year. And The first one was in Hangzhou City of Zhejiang Province. It was in an answer to the increasing disputes regarding online purchases and financial activities in the area. And also, we will see a third one, which is planned to be opened by the end of this month, but it will be in Guangzhou in the south part of China. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting to look at the locations yes. where the internet court is being open or will be yeah. open. I'm not surprised that it started in Hangzhou that yeah. is home to Alibaba Group.
Yes.
And it's quite interesting. Like in the US, you see this talk about the Amazon effect. It's when a mega company like Amazon moves into a city or moves into the state. Of course, you know, they're going to pay a lot of tax and it revitalizes the city. In Hangzhou, we're seeing something similar to that Alibaba's presence there has really made that city super green and high tech. So yeah, and it's reflected in the judicial system
yes.
as well. What do these internet courts deal with?
This court usually given jurisdiction to handle certain types of only maybe internet-related cases, because it should be tried by a primary-levels people's court in Beijing in its first instance. And also, it involves disputes in online loans, online shopping contracts, online copyright issues and domains are among the typical cases. And also, appeals can be lodged and heard by the Beijing No. 4 Intermediate People's Court or a special court, such as the Beijing Intellectual Property Court. So maybe we can say this court is focused on dealing with issues related to internet disputes.
Oh, interesting.
Or some related issues, yeah.
Okay, so you cleared it for me on this one. Now I know that this is actually a court that exists in the confines of a building, that it's not
yes.
like it exists only in a cloud or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, and this is certainly something new that the Chinese judicial system is trying out, that is starting a new court that's devoted to solving the disputes and issues in the internet domain. Mm. Tony, you're from the U.S., and after a bit of research, what is this situation like in the U.S. when it comes to internet disputes?
Well, there aren't any like specific internet courts, but the U.S. does have an extensive history in internet legislature, with many laws spawning from the 80s to you know the present day. However, the free speech provisions of the First Amendment bar federal, state, and local governments from directly controlling the internet. The primary exception has to do with obscenity, including child pornography, which does not enjoy the First Amendment's protection. In April of 2000, they had the Child's Online Privacy Protection Act, which went into effect. And this pretty much restricts online access to children of the age of 13 and younger. And many websites disallow underage children from using their services altogether due to the cost and the amount of paperwork necessary for compliance. Similarly, public perception claims that law has intended the protection, the child protection from pedophiles and unintended marketing practices. So you have some laws coming in for protection as well. And Trading with the Enemy Act, actually, back in 1917, which was initially created to restrict trade with countries hostile to the U.S. But, you know, in 2008, it was a new rendition of this act for online users. And this law included a number of websites or organizations that the U.S. companies are prohibited from doing business with. Upon engaging these sites, the government would freeze the company's assets. So there are some laws in the states, and this is just a couple to name, you know, name a few. There's a lot more. So there's just a lot of laws coming into play. And I think the more access that people have to the internet and how connected we are all over the world, and you can pretty much get whatever service you want, or if you're a fraudulent entity, you could scam a lot of people as well. So I think a lot of these laws are very important in this day and age.
It's interesting that in the U.S. that you see there's a lot of legislation and law codes that's devoted to this cause.
Yes.
And here in China, I find this, yeah, here's me gonna, you know, I'm gonna nerd out a little bit. and in China, when you study how the law is being conducted here, especially how judges and even Supreme Court justices, they decide, how do we divide the cases and what should be the focus? Actually, they've adapted a completely different approach. Mm. That is, in China, it seems like the judges and justices, they are more focused on specialty. Like Huang Shen has just mentioned, there is a IP court, intellectual property court, and now there's the internet court on top of the existing judicial establishment. So we see that it seems like the judges are becoming more and more specialized, where they're honing their legal skills, zeroing in on very specific cases of a certain type. And in the U.S., that's not really the case. I feel that the judges are more, instead of like acting like surgeons, they're more like general doctors in a way. Mm. Like they take all different types of cases in, criminal or civil, and they make their decisions. So it's always interesting when we have the technology, we have the internet, we're equipped with the language of knowing more than one language, and
right.
You'd be able to find out these interesting intricacies of different countries and legal systems. And back here to China, why do you think at this point this kind of internet court is being set up?
I think it's in line with the development of internet in China, because now we are getting used to e-commerce and we buy everything from the online platforms. And we can also see about how many netizens. We can take Beijing, for example, at the first, because now there are already 16.9 million netizens in Beijing. And also the internet penetration rate in the city reached 77.8%, and which is the top in the country. And if we can see, what about in China? So now China has 802 million internet users, about 71% of whom are also online shoppers. So when we are moving to the internet era, there will be more and more case involved of internet disputes. And also another interesting of this internet court is about, it's not only an internet court solving internet issues, it's also a really virtual type of court, because there's no physical building for this court. You can deal with the judge or the judicial process online.
Oh.
Yes.
But don't you still need to have office buildings for the judges to work?
But you don't need to for the litigants. They don't need to go inside the court and to file a suit and file a case or during the hearing process. You can sit in your house or in your company. You are just facing the screen as long as you have the internet access.
Wow, that sounds very convenient. That's a very convenient way to handle a court issue.
Yes.
Instead of having to set aside some time and have to travel all the way to the office and deal with parking and traffic, you can just stay at home and go to court. That is unprecedented. That's amazing.
Yeah. That is so convenient. And in a way, I feel cold. Isn't the judge looking at multiple screens? And
yes, it's supposed to be like this way when it's for most of the cases, but when maybe there's internet access is not available, maybe you have to go to the physical court to do the process.
That's certainly something new that is mind-blowing for me. I'm a person that's, you know, happily crawled up in my cave, because sometimes technology, it just redefines the concept of domain, sphere, virtual versus reality, and how you judge a case. Also, how do you send in evidence? And I mean, how exactly does this whole routine work out?
So for how could you send the evidence? First, you need to log on to that platform. You need to register first. And because the platform need to verify your identification to make sure you are not fooling them. Mm-hmm. For example, like the internet court must confirm that the litigants, cases, and the involved accounts, they match. And also their identities will be confirmed by comparing with their ID photos and also identifying their biological features or notifying via the National Identity Authentication Platform. Also, I think they will also involve some facial recognition and real name authentication technology to make sure that you are the real litigant and you really have a case to file. And for if you want to provide physical evidence, I think litigants can scan, take a photo, record or video shoot the physical evidence and then upload those digital copies to the digital litigation platform. And also if the digital evidence is owned by the litigants themselves, they can also offer a link or upload the files so the court can also obtain digital evidence from the e-commerce platforms, internet service providers, and also platforms that collect and store digital evidence. So it's a whole digital process.
Wow. Yes, it just seems like another thing. I think this court, I mean the office building of this court must be equipped with, that is super high-speed internet.
Yes,
and very stable internet infrastructure
and
for all of this to happen.
And loads of computers and screens.
I can imagine having to send a document in by a certain time and then the internet just starts to lag and get slow and then you're not able to meet that time frame and then you get in trouble with the law. So high-speed internet would definitely need to be imperative for this.
Yes, and also abundant storage room, possibly on a cloud.
Yeah.
Because now they probably don't have those big libraries where they keep all the case files anymore.
I would imagine that the workload would be really congestive for a lot of the staff. I mean, at this point, we're not sure how many people are working for the court system, but I would imagine there's a lot of cases, and I believe cases will increase in the future with, you know, internet and, you know, different, you know, perhaps violations. So I can only imagine that people in this line of work will be very, very busy. So they'll have to definitely be staffed for all these cases.
Yeah. Mm. And what's really interesting here as well is the 24/7 working hours. But apparently at first I got overly excited, I suppose. But also I was a little I was sympathetic. I thought if the judges had to work such outrageous hours, then they must demand more pay or something. But then it turned out that it's because it's all uploading evidence and proceedings and those kind of things. So therefore, you can utilize the internet to do that 24/7, 24 hours a day.
I think that would be good in terms of, again, because of the amount of cases that come in. If you have staff that's there 24/7, then a lot more cases will be able to be dealt with in that time frame. But I almost feel that, yeah, a court case at 1 o'clock in the morning, how plausible is that? I don't know if that's going to work.
Yeah, exactly. And you need to have the plaintiff, the defendant, and at least one judge. I think often they have three judges, and also the law clerk. All these people need to be present online for this to work. So you still need to organize and arrange a time to so-called meet up in front of different screens. But what I think it can help to do is increase efficiency.
Yes.
And let's have a look at what the first internet court has achieved.
Because the first internet court is in Hangzhou, and it heard over 12,000 cases and also closed over 10,000 in its first year. So I think this is quite efficient. Also, it saves a lot of time because the internet-based measures can improve the efficiency of dealing with such cases. According to a report by the People's Court Daily this August, from August the 18th to 2017 to this August 17th, the average court hearing lasts only 28 minutes.
Wow.
And also the average trial lasts only around 38 days. So this is set to save about nearly like a half of the conventional time in the conventional courts. And also, I think since it's becoming more convenient, and people would like to maybe stand up more to safeguard their rights, because now you can easily access to the platform and to file the lawsuit, maybe people won't think, oh, it's too troublesome to sue someone to protect my own rights. But now people may like to stand up and maybe file more suits.
Oh, some more lawsuits in China.
And then that will keep the courts busy, I suppose.
Yeah.
But what's quite interesting here, on top of everything else you said, Huang Shan, is that people involved in 99% of the cases closed, they accepted the judgment of the first trial.
Oh.
And they didn't even go on to the next step of the legal procedure, that is lodging an appeal. So that number, by the look of it, seems to indicate that people are quite happy with what the outcome has turned out to be in this internet court. And I think certainly this is one area of law that is increasingly becoming more popular here in China.
Yeah.
And just look at, let's say, in Beijing, half of the top 100 internet companies and tech companies have headquarters in Beijing. So it kind of makes sense that you have internet court as such to be located in the same municipality.
I also feel like this type of case is a lot more cut and dry than some of the other situations in
like
crime.
Like a criminal
case is a lot more that's going to be necessary. You're going to need a jury, and you're going to have a lot of more parties involved to enact justice. So for, you know, these type of violations on the internet, it seems to be a lot more cut and dry, and people can accept whatever the result of the case is. And I think that this is a really good system. Perhaps we should look at doing it in the U.S.
Yes, and this is a really quite fascinating fact that you see that there's 38 judges that are sitting on this internet court in Beijing, and they have an average of more than, was it 10 years of experience?
Yes.
The very first time when I saw this piece of news, I was thinking about the highly respected venerable judges that have gray hairs and possibly find it difficult to track the evidence, to even upload the verdict, I suppose. Yeah, but maybe because we have a younger generation of judges that are being sent to sit on this court, then it might not be so alien to them or unfamiliar for them to really adapt and go with the tide as the court has moved on into the digital age as well.
Yeah, they'll be able to be a lot more familiar with the verbiage and a lot of what everyone is doing in the case, and can kind of give feedback on that because they're knowledgeable about the internet and they use the internet. But yeah, people from older generations seem to still be getting it and not quite understanding what. I'm sorry, did you say WW what?
Yeah,
it might be an issue.
Yeah, the 2.0 age what? Yeah. And also one thing that has been hailed for this new internet court is that supposedly it can promote more transparency and fairness. What's your take on this?
In my view, again, I feel that it's a lot more transparent and clear when it in terms of what people can and can't do. And creating this court is going to initiate laws, and I think laws are very important because people can see what the guy, you know, what the line is that they can cross and what they can't cross. So this is going to help a lot of people in terms of scamming and fraud. It's all over the world, and if there are no boundaries, then people are going to cross them and they're going to take advantage of people. So I think that this is definitely is a new era of internet policing, I guess you could call it, but it's very important, I think.
And for me, I think because it's too transparent, I'm kind of worried about, it brings up a concern. Will it cause the leak of personal information? Because you can access to the mediation hearing and the judgment process online. So it means the details of the plaintiffs and also the details of the case will be revealed on the internet. So will it also cause some leak of personal information? And also, I think me and Hoyan had talked about this, about the hackers. Now we know the hackers are so skillful and they're so professional. What if they want to hack the case or hack the platforms?
I don't know if there's a lot you can do about hackers because they're gifted in this line of work, so to speak. But in terms of leaking of information, that's going to have to be some more policies that are going to have to come into play in addition to this internet court, and that's confidentiality, because that's very important in terms of really any institution that hoards information on individuals. So yeah, I believe that's definitely something that's going to be implemented in the near future.
That's certainly a major concern, I think, for the court. And I'm not so worried about possibly the leakage of personal information, in the sense that anybody who wants access to this online court system, you need to register, and there is this process you need to go through. So I'm not so worried that if it's one internet user that wants to get into the system, and it's possibly very difficult. But for hackers or maybe some data breach cases, as we've seen all over the world these days, that is a little a vulnerable thing, I suppose. Traditionally, there's the worry about thieves going into a room, but here it's the internet. We'll be back after this short break.